Track 2. Paul meets Peter Johns, the former manager but now chair of Eden Golf Club, who talks about his own background and history at the club and about the current plans for the development of this club owned totally by its playing members. This is Paul here, and I'm at Eden Golf Course, and I've got the privilege of being able to have a chat with Peter Johns, who is chair of the golf course. Peter, hello.
Hi. How are you? I'm good. Thank you, Paul. Hello, listeners.
Jolly good. Tell me, how long have you been associated with the golf course?
I first became a member in 1979.
Right.
And then, I've been playing actively on the course ever since. 2008, I was appointed as the club manager, and I retired from that role in December 2020. Recently, I've been elected as the chair of Eton Golf Club, and I thought 4 years between management and becoming the chair was about right to leave it to somebody else to look at the course and the way they want to go, but it was my turn to put my hat in the ring again.
Okay, so what's, for our listeners, what's the actual difference between being a manager of the place and being the chair of the place?
Yeah, very good question, but there's a huge difference. As manager of the club, I had 6 green staff, 4 pros, 8 bar staff, assistant, secretary, and I managed all of them because it's a private members club with 800 members, all of who have an opinion, of course. I had to be everything. I had to be the payroll, the pension, the HR. I had to know agronomy, health and safety, and because I didn't have a department to go to.
Yeah.
Now, as chair, it's a strategic role. So, making it sustainable for the future, giving members value for money with the golf course, the condition of the course, and making sure that everybody is enjoying themselves when they come to the place. Okay. So it's more of a leader role in terms of being the chair as opposed to being the manager.
Okay, so I mean, Eton is obviously a fairly unique golf course because it's so well situated within Norwich. And it's been in existence since
1910.
Okay, and obviously then there was probably some open land around it, but it.
Yep. Yes, it was pretty much just a field,
right.
It was cultivated, cut. Course was designed, and then over the years we've been surrounded by houses. But when you say unique, it certainly is. It's the only private members club within Norwich and the surrounding area. It used to be there was a rivalry between Eton and Royal Norwich, and Royal Norwich were at Helston, and we used to have a lot of banter with them, and so there was 2 private members clubs. Hardly any other courses existed back then, and when I joined in 1979 there were only 2 choices, Royal Norwich or Eton, and I plumped for Eton. But now, in the area, there's lots of proprietary clubs have cropped up. So we used to be we used to be the marketplace in terms of private members' clubs, and now it's becoming a niche market.
Right, okay. So you started here as a member, and then you became manager. And what background did you have to qualify you to become the manager? Because, as you say, you needed to have lots of qualities and skills to be able to manage all those different areas.
Yep, and I did glean a lot of skills through my career, which started at Bolton and Paul, which is where Carra Road. There used to be a steel department there, and I was an apprentice draftsman. So I've lived in Norwich all my life so far, and I went to Thorpe Grammar School, and when I left school I became an apprentice draftsman. Got made redundant after 2 years, so I was 19, married, and had a mortgage, first mortgage, and my world had ended at 19. But then it progressed from there. I got a job with the railway at down on Prince of Wales Road in the drawing office. Then I moved from there to the gas board at Roundtree Way, and I became the head drafts person. And then I left there to work for, or I moved departments. Then I left there and went to Prudential as a consultant, a financial consultant, and then from there to the golf club. So I had a rounding in terms of the technical side of things, dealing with people.
Yeah.
So being the manager of the golf course, as I said earlier, everybody has an opinion. They're not always right, and one of my favourite expressions is, I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. So having the interpersonal skills obviously helped. It just seemed like the whole of my... And obviously being taking an interest in golf and being quite a decent golfer, it all just was right. And I did 13 years in the role, which was...
So when you say you're quite a good golfer, when did you start playing golf and what heights did you achieve?
Well, I was 13 when I first started playing golf, and that was at Munsley Golf Club on the North Norfolk coast. And my mother and father were members there. So I had three lessons to kick me off, and then I was hooked. And I played, when I was old enough, I had a Honda 90, and you'd see me travelling from my home at Thorpe 20 miles to Munsey with my golf bag strapped to my back. I'd be there all day. I used to play lots of sport and cricket in the summer, but that went because golf is more of a summer game. And then I got too old to play football, so I played golf. I then got to become single figure handicap when I was 17, and the lowest handicap I achieved was 3. If listeners don't know what a handicap system is, the lower you are, the better. And professionals don't have a handicap at all; they're that good. So I equaled the course record twice, and once I didn't drop a single shot to the course. I had 15 pars and 3 birdies, which meant equated to 67, which was a course record at the time. So, yeah, I never achieved county standard, which was always verging on it, but never quite represented my county, which was unfortunate.
Okay, so now that you're chair of the course, the club, what makes a good club, good golf club? Because in a sense, there's a potential for our listeners to think, well, one, it's an expensive sport, or it's a sport that's only played by older people. How do you judge whether this is a good golf club?
Yeah, when I was manager, I tried to run it as like a family affair. So people come here, they want to leave all their problems behind, and they spend 4 hours on the golf course with their mates or with new people, meet new people, and they need to have a good experience over that time. And it's about friendships, it's about the course being in a good condition. Elite golfers want it to be like Augusta, but it can't be. But then most people, the majority of handicap golfers, if there's a piece of turf to tee off and a nice fairway and some decently maintained bunkers and a nice green to put on, they're absolutely fine with that. So it's it's the camaraderie and the spirit. And I want, once you walk through the door, I want the staff to be welcoming, the members to be welcoming, and you go away thinking, wow, what a great place that is, and I'd like to join it. I'd like to come back and play again.
Well, I have to say, I've played here a few times, and it's a very pleasant place to play. I can't compete with you in terms of handicap. I went round in 18 over, but you know, I think it was still, as you say, an enjoyable afternoon out with friends and so on.
Yeah.
So, what are the challenges for the future?
Sustainability. We are a private members club. We're not for profit, so we do have to maintain our expenditure, and our income need to be at least equal. Otherwise, if we can't pay the bills, then we close. Mm-hmm. And the only people that can help us with that are our members. So, as I said earlier, we have 800 members, so we don't rely on visitors and society golf as much as some other courses, yeah, especially in the North Norfolk. So we do need to keep the income coming in. As I said, sustainability of the golf course. We're now going to invest in a £600,000 irrigation system, which the members will need to pay for.
What does that mean? Does that mean their membership's just going to go up more money?
No, we could go to the bank and borrow money, but that's wasted money, really, because you have set-up fees, you have interest to pay, and we'd have to pay £5,700 per month for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or we ask the members to consider a levy, which is one thing that we've put forward,
right,
and advanced memberships. So 5-year advanced membership pay up front, then we then get the capital. Okay, we won't have the income moving forward if you take it up front, because we'll spend it, because we have to spend it on the system. But we have a current mortgage which finishes in July, because we bought the course in 1997. It was right. We used to lease it, and we then bought it, and that mortgage finishes in July. So we could roll over the mortgage payments, but we want to save that £5,600-£700 per month.
Sure.
And if the members pay, then that's a saving off the annual expenditure.
Yeah. Well, it sounds as though you've got something in your mind that's going to make the club survive and thrive in the future. And I'm very pleased to have met you and had a nice chat. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Paul.
No, pleasure.